It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day honors those who have died while in military service, so big shout out to military families. Memorial Day is distinct from Veterans Day, as Veterans Day is a U.S. public holiday and which celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans, while Memorial Day honors those who have died, you know, while in service. I want to give a big shout-out to my last two weekend guests, two Joes, Dr. Joe Arante a couple weeks ago, talking about the dental office and how it will operate in this COVID environment that we're in. And speaking of that, in New Hampshire, dentists were allowed to open for regular visits starting on Monday, May 11th. Several offices opened that week. A lot of other offices were training under sort of the new norm, and others opened up on May 18th, and others will open up after Memorial Day. Then last weekend we had Joe Casper talking about road racing in sort of the virtual world. In other words, most road races I know that we sponsored, whether it be the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, the Capital Ear Race Series, other races have all been canceled or postponed till next year. And so the big niche now is how to do road racing virtually. So I think ultimately we'll get this all figured out. But for now, all road racing has been canceled for the most part. And Joe described kind of the virtual scene. So, with all of that being said, with me is the world-famous, how do you like that, Deb? World-famous Dr. Deb Osgood, founder and CEO of Osgood and Associates. And in the spirit of transparency, Deb and I go back a long way. So tell us about your career and how it got to this point in life, and then we'll get into the conversation about COVID-19 and small business crisis management. So take your time talking about your background, because I know every time I listen, I always learn something new and find it very interesting.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here once again. And it's funny you say world famous. I guess since we're kind of living in the twilight zone, I might as well be world famous.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Know, one thing I know you're going to talk about crisis communications and so forth, but one of the things I've learned in all the communications I've done with my employee colleagues and my customers and dentists and board members, not everything you do needs to have a sense of humor in it, but every once in a while throwing in a little sense of humor, actually, you know, people appreciate it. So with that, let's get into your background.
Yes, laughter is the best medicine, and I think we need a lot of it now. So it's an interesting background, Tom. I started out really working to develop small business. And so developing the traditional approach to business planning and taking an innovative approach from there to help people find a lot of the free and low-cost resources that our tax dollars pay for that are available across the country was almost one of the first models in kind of social media, because we created this kind of online no-cost platform where everybody could come together who offered resources, who needed resources, and then who wanted to promote access to high-value resources. So it was a self-selecting environment like social media where people could come together around that shared interest. So that was kind of exciting last century. But the new century here...
That sounds funny to say, but
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it was. And this century, though, is as life goes, all bets were off on what to find small, and small with the gig economy has gotten even smaller. So even the Department of Labor predicted in this century that the primary employer would be self. And that has continued to become the case with the gig economy, with people working freelance, independent contractors, all kinds of different models where people can work by themselves and connect with others. So that brings us full circle to today, where we live in this kind of odd environment with COVID-19. Everything that we predicted, you know, was a daily normal event is not normal anymore. And in self-employment, there were individuals who never considered being their own boss, who never considered going into business for themselves. So when my business, as it turned into this century here, I went and got a PhD in behavior because it went from just teaching the traditional approach to how to start and grow a business to figuring out first what was going on in an individual's head and how to maximize their inherent talents and interests so that they could generate income on their own and overcome some of the myths that they thought involved starting their own business, when in fact, when they're doing what they love and kind of love what they do, they have a lot more options and can still have the income and quality of life that they're looking for.
And Anon, I've had you on the show before and listening to you on other shows. I mean, that's so important that people follow their passion and that the value that their passion can, in fact, translate into a value proposition that you can earn a living. So tell us how kind of that evolved, because I know I'm always interested, you know, I know you have a lot of clients and you counsel them and people don't realize the talents that they have and how it can, in fact, be, you know, leveraged, you know, into, you know, making a living.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom, because You know, I do other work about, it's called Movers and Shakers, where we interview people who are stepping up with a passion about something they're interested in. And in interviewing all different people in all walks of life, I find that those who early on recognized what they were passionate about are typically the ones who succeed later in life because it has something to do with what they're doing in their career, and it means a difference. And yet, so my work in going into this field is early on, I was personally frustrated graduating from high school, not having an idea what I wanted to do, being one of nine children and not finding any resource that helped me to be more efficient in figuring out what I wanted to do. So all of my work, I think, from that point on to here has helped me to find ways where more individuals could see that by doing what they love, they could actually love what they do and not have to sell that off for the 2.3 children, the four-car garage, the McMansion, and then by the time they retire, they're sometimes too tired to even take advantage of what might have actually interested them in the first place.
Exactly. Well said, and I learned something new every time I talk with you because I didn't realize you were one of nine children. I want to go there in a second, but before I do, one of the things I always – so my children are all, you know, late 20s, and they're all now, you know, working in professions. And, you know, every once in a while, it's great when your children finally recognize that, you know, maybe they can ask their dad a thing here and there. But one of the things I always tell them is, like, particularly, you know, people now, you'll be working into your 70s. So you better love what you're doing because you're going to be doing this for another 40 years. So it's so much, as you know, it's so much easier getting up and either going to work or if you're working virtually, getting yourself, you know, ready from your virtual office at home if you love what you do, just what you said. And I know people think I work a lot of hours, and I do, but it really is a, you know, labor of love and, you know, passion. One of the things I'm spending a lot of time now on that now, obviously, is making sure that our, you know, our dental offices are supported by the proper personal protection equipment and other forms of relief so they can get up and running. And so then our employers, who really are our major customers, their employees can start going back to the dentist. Obviously, you know, they have coverage with us, but if dental offices aren't open, you know, then the employees who have the coverage can't go to the dentist. So it all kind of comes together. But so I've been candidly, you know, working like 24/7, communicating with, you know, 1,900 dentists, 5,000 customers, 250 employees. But it's all sort of with this, you know, wellness, oral health passion, and it makes a lot easier. I can't imagine, you know, putting in those hours, you know, if you weren't loving what you're doing.
Yeah, that's so important.
And I do want to put a plug in for your book. we'll edit it for radio, but Kick Butt Leadership. So tell us.
There you go.
Tell us. Has another word actually, but you can find it. It's by Deb Osgood and Jackie. So tell us how that book came into being.
Yeah, it's funny you say Kick Butt Leadership because that's how Jack and I called it too. But you know, we use the other word for marketing these days. that kind of approach, you know, even in the Twilight Zone days and in politics, it seems that the more sensational you can make things, it sells. But like you, I prefer kick butt. And that project came out of really a similar desire in my work to help people find out that they could make a living doing what they loved, to help other people become aware that if they pursued what they loved, they often had the passion that they needed to really make a profound difference in an area. It's the skills would follow, but if they trusted that fire in their belly, that would lead them through a lot more challenges and overcoming obstacles along the way that if they weren't passionate about it, wouldn't exist. So I find that that's a key ingredient, and the book then started by interviewing 6 different people who were stepping up, and the unique way that they learned the skills along the way, but that their unique passion about what interested them and how circumstances in life brought them on that path helped them to actually make a positive impact. And then that's how a radio program came out of it, again, to interview more. And by talking to these people and writing about them in the book, one of them would be you.
And it was, by the way, it was a great experience, because basically the way it worked is that Dr. Deb and Jack would interview the business leaders, and we would just talk like we're talking now in an interview, and it all came together in a great book. And the other leaders in it, I learned a lot from. You know, and as I kind of summarize things, it's hard to summarize a lot of passion, but it's almost like a combination of servant leadership and working really hard, paying attention to your customers and your being authentic. All that kind of captured a lot of the leaders, you know, that I read about. So
yes.
Thank you for putting out there. Can you get that book on Amazon?
Yes, you can. Amazon and Audible. It's available with books on a tablet. So just go on Amazon and you can find Kick Butt Leadership.
It has a different name for the BUTT, but you can find it, and it's an easy read, and it's very conversational. So some of the people you'll recognize. I just feel honored that I was one of the few in there, and some really great insights. So thanks for doing that. I know how having written 2 books, one on leadership and one on mindfulness. I know there are a lot of books out there, but it's a lot easier said than done, as you know.
Yeah, true.
and the great thing, I know that one of the objectives of yourself and Jack was to impart knowledge. You know, we all know that the rising tide helps everybody. So to the extent that, you know, leaders, emerging leaders in New Hampshire, can learn some of the techniques and traits and insights of these other leaders, that that helps us. That helps us all. So thank you for doing that.
You're very welcome. I like what you said, Tom, about servant leadership, because really it all comes down to that central theme. Even today, people who are facing some of the challenges and that COVID-19 is bringing, the ones who find purpose in serving others are doing better than the ones who are consumed in fear and finding it hard to even help themselves.
Tom Raffio returning this weekend, May 23rd, Memorial Day weekend, with Dr. Deb Osgood, founder and CEO of Osgood & Associates, the author, co-author of a delightful book on leadership called Kick Butt Leadership with Jack Heath, and you can purchase that on Amazon. Happy Memorial Day for those of you that are celebrating it, and I think that we all know that Memorial Day is there's a lot of gravitas associated with this day and weekend, because it honors those who have died, you know, while in military services. And as the aforementioned Jack has said many times in other venues, there's only a very small percentage of people that actually serve in the military, so we definitely want to honor people that are in military service, and in this case, those who have given their life. So we were talking about being purpose-driven and the opportunities, to some extent, that COVID-19 has created in terms of innovation, but let's maybe start with COVID-19, the small business crisis management. What are what are some of the drivers and stories, and then we can segue into opportunities.
Sure. They're kind of unprecedented times, and it's interesting. You know, we're honoring on Memorial Day our veterans serving on the front lines. Well, with COVID-19, we have a whole other group and population serving on the front lines, as our healthcare workers and grocery clerks are all out there trying to help us still eat and not die under some of these terrible conditions, and sometimes without protection. So that's certainly one of the drivers, and on Memorial Day is defining a new kind of soldier for us here in America and around the world. But we also have just unprecedented no normals across almost every daily routine. You have people working remotely. You have them, many of them, at home with their family together 24/7, never before as this long, which is creating all kinds of different experiences. You have layoffs with individuals, no idea if and when they'll be recalled. I mean, the recent two-month period suggests there are 36 million jobless claims, which is unprecedented, they're saying, since the Depression. The biggest concern, Tom, that seems kind of disruptive here is the lack of consistency in leadership, direction, and guidance. You know, you've got the virus itself, And that has unknowns about who has the virus, what the symptoms are, how long it lasts, when a vaccine might be available. But you also have uncertainty about when we'll reopen, who will reopen, how we'll reopen. And so all of these things really make it very challenging for any individual to try to stay grounded. And I like your one of your books really focused on mindfulness. And yet that's really what's necessary here. How to become more mindful.
Exactly. And I think I'm glad you mentioned that it's both, you know, an economic and biological crisis, because back in 2008-09 when we had the economic crisis, you know, a lot of people lost their job, but it definitely wasn't, you know, 20%. And we weren't walking around worried about catching a virus. I really think that combination does make it daunting for people. But I think if you, one of the things I've learned in this, if you take it in small bites and say, today, let me focus. I know one of the things I've done is I get one news flash a day, that's it, and then I focus on what I can control and do. And, you know, when the egg hit the fan with COVID-19, let's say, for argument's sake, say that was around March 16th. I know on March 12th and 13th, Thursday and Friday, we literally had, you know, regular board meetings with people in full attendance, dinner. But literally over the weekend, and then in my case, the American Dental Association said dental offices needed to be closed except for emergencies, and then the NBA, you know, canceled its season, and everything hit the fan from that point on. I mean, the first thing we did was, you know, clear out all of our employees for safety reasons, got them all hooked up at home, and then we focused on making sure our dentist could continue some business, so we gave them relief checks, and then we focused on our employers, and as recently as just a couple weeks ago, we announced the final relief for them. So it was kind of, what I try to do is kind of put it out in phases and do things, you know, that I can control, starting with, obviously, you know, people need to be safe, and so if your employees are going to get the virus, then you're good to nobody. So obviously, you know, we started there, and we've done, I think, a terrific job with, you know, most people working virtually, with a handful of people, you know, like me in Concord, being socially distanced. But though I liked what you said, which is, you know, really being mindful and taking it and not always be, you know, fear-based.
Yeah, that's the nail on the head. And in the central theme of how you articulated that you and your organization addressed it, you recognized that you had choices along the way. While it's easy, because there is no normal across so many areas, to give in to fear, it's so important to recognize that free will and choice exists for any of us at any given time. And neuroscience is proving this, that if you're in the fight or flight and emotional state of mind, it's very, very hard to think clearly. So practicing mindfulness, doing meditation, taking time to step back like you did and have a plan, and as everything changes every day and new rules are introduced, you still have to recognize that you have choice. You can still step back, break things down into some kind of manageable context where you can make a difference, as you said, and then act from there. And it's so important for people to know that, not just in maintaining their own wellness, but also in how they can get their business to not only survive now, but in many situations, even thrive.
Exactly. And would you, before we get into that, the opportunities in a good way that this has created, talk about the importance of consistent leadership. I know that I'll make two comments. One of the biggest compliments that I get in my life is that I'm the same person in the mailroom as that I'm in the boardroom. I'm authentic. Mike describes something a little differently, but I'm the exact same person, and I describe the situation. And we have, you know, we have furloughed 15% of our employees, and I didn't sugarcoat that. You know, it was, you know, very authentic. Another thing I've done in terms of consistency, I have 55 consecutive business days, have done a pretty consistent, lengthy email to all of our employees, and then since the furloughs, about 30 communications to our furloughed employees, just keeping them up to speed on, you know, in business, and then just kind of occasionally some humor. And I found that just that combination, people, you know, love to, you know, stay connected. So leaders out there, very important to be consistent and continuous with your communication. Would you agree, Dr. Deb?
Oh, Tom, that is so important. And, you know, for any of our listeners, when you put that consistent leadership in a context they can relate to, it's a family. A family is a smaller nucleus. Even just a relationship one-on-one with someone, when you're not consistent, it's disruptive to a relationship. When you're not consistent as parents in raising your children, it's disruptive to their wellness and their well-being over the years. And so in a society, it's no difference. It's just the scale and the scope of responsibility. But being consistent so that the people who rely on the leaders for direction, who rely on you in a relationship or your parents in the family nucleus or in a community, that they can rely on what you say, how authentic. And I like what you said, when you have to furlough your employees, it's not a good feeling. But when you're genuine, when you reflect exactly how you feel, people can trust you. So both the good times and in the bad times, you're still genuine. That is so important for anyone in a community because they can draw strength from that. It's that the very closest people that they depend on for their wellness can be relied upon and trusted. And when that's not the case, it just creates a lot more unnecessary chaos and confusion.
Chaos, confusion, and incorrect assumptions as well. And so that's why that authenticity is so important. And what I found is in my career, human beings are okay when you say no, but you've got to be clear. You can't sugarcoat it. You have to explain. And then human beings are adults. They'll move on. And I think, you know, the same level of communication that I do with my active employees, you know, I do with you know, my furloughed employees. So, for example, as dentists start going back to work, either the 11th or the 18th, or after Memorial Day, and our claims and calls activities pick up, you know, I'm explaining this as well to the furloughed employees, and they know as this picks up that they'll be going from the furloughed list back to the, you know, active employees, so that, you know, they're engaged, and they know it's not going to happen overnight. As you know, Deb, not everybody's going to run back to the dentist because probably 20%, you talked about this, but 20% of people will still have that, you know, that fear or whatever, and so it's definitely going to take a while.
Yeah. The transparency you're talking about is great, Tom.
Oh, thanks. And one of the things I've done, too, is like I kind of, you know, encourage people to take breaks, and I'm authentic with my virtual colleagues, which is, hey, I know you're sitting at your computer and one of your kids or grandkids is going to run by, or your husband or wife wants you to, you know, take a walk at 10:15, not at noon. You know, go ahead and do it. You know, and when we were starting the virtual process, it was clear we weren't all as productive, but now we are, and so by letting them know that I understand, because I have a little grandchild running around when I work from home. I usually come into Concord, but sometimes in the morning I'll do my work from home. You know, she'll be at my feet. My two dogs are at my feet, and so
yeah.
right at that point I'm distracted, and you just have to be honest with that. So I've always taken that advice from you. So let's segue now to how, well, certainly no one hopes for a pandemic, and no one hopes for having to, do things virtually. But don't you think it might create some innovative and sort of, you know, creative opportunities? I know, for example, there's been, you know, some business meetings that used to take a long time and gather, and we've been pretty successful with either WebEx or Zoom. So what do you think some of the innovative opportunities are out there?
Well, some of our best moments as the human race have actually been at times of adversity. And so I also liken that to Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. And then in later years, I subsequently learned, he said, no, follow what irritates you. I mean, when you get that fire in the belly that there's some injustice or that there's some area where you can make a difference, that really drives a lot of the capacity for individuals to not accept no, to not accept that someone may have told them all their lives that they can't do something. It's instead, get out of my way. I want this to be the outcome. People are relying on me, and some way I'm going to make it happen. And you do that, and you've articulated that at Northeast Delta Dental. I see a lot of other organizations doing this. There's a manufacturer, SleepNet, in New Hampshire that's transferred their production from sleep apnea-type products to frontline protective devices, respirator-type devices, mask protection for healthcare workers. There's a Portsmouth Christian Academy, and on honor of Memorial Day, that's run by a retired veteran. And this is a K-12 school. They've realigned what all their employees did. So teachers who used to teach in the classroom now are not only teaching online, but they're also getting very creative about how they help their students. They're doing one-on-one chats, phone calls, small group, the video chats. They're even driving by homes to deliver materials. I mean, it's very creative the way that they've leveraged community. So I think everyone has the capacity where they can think out of the box and use resources differently, whether it's at home with a family or whether it's in their business. There's always an opportunity to innovate and realign the assets that you have, look at them in a different way so that you can take advantage of new opportunities that are existing right now. There are businesses that are thriving.
Thank you. I know we sparked some interest. So I know your website is osgoodandassociates.com, and we can hear you on Movers and Shakers. If we spark some interest, can someone give you a call?
Sure. Either through the website, there's a contact form, or area code 603-658-0340.